This is an ABC podcast.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
So at a time when everyone is talking about Ozempic and other fast body transformation drugs, are we continuing to overlook the misuse of one drug that is constantly growing in use, is easily accessed illegally, and still has little research into the impacts of short and long-term use? And I'm talking about steroids. Good morning. My name's Rochelle Hunt, your co-host this morning, Daniel Miles, joining you from ABC Warrnambool. Dan, illegal steroid use has almost tripled in the last 18 years, and that's with men in their sort of mid to late 30s being the most common users. And I wonder if that's the reason why this year it will be a key focus of the Global Drug Survey, which is our largest study on drug use, because have steroids and illegal steroid use, do you think it's become normalised?
Good morning, Rochelle. I don't know about you, but I am going to personally blame Arnold Schwarzenegger for all of this.
I don't know if we still can. I think we can probably blame social media to this point.
But I reckon, I mean, if you're looking at the group of people who are using this, the most people in their mid to late 30s, that's sort of my generation. And it was Arnie's explosion into mainstream as a bodybuilder turned actor turned politician that made this idea of a drug propelled image enhancement almost feel normal and culturally accepted. Because I think that sometimes once something hits pop culture like that, that illegality has the edge knocked off. And now for me, if I start thinking sports, my generation, after Arnie, of course, I go straight to sport, competitive sport all across the globe. And when you're talking about sport, it's not police, it's not law enforcement, it's sporting league administrators, it's club owners, which are taking actions. And then it also makes it kind of feel accessible, which it shouldn't, because steroid use distribution in Australia without a prescription is flat out illegal. But, you know, by all the reports that we get, it doesn't feel it, or it doesn't seem as hard as it should be to get your hands on steroids if that's something that you want to do. So I wonder, is this something that we've slept on a little bit?
Absolutely, something that's potentially gone through to the keeper. And when you think about the image of drug use and illegal drug use, where does steroids come into that conversation? Because you look potentially, not all the time, but you look healthy, right? You look fit, you look buff, you're probably congratulated on how you look, have you been working out? And those quick, fast body enhancement drugs or body changing drugs like Ozempic, I think there's a really good comparison here. You may get comments, people might say to you, wow, you've lost a lot of weight, you look fantastic. But does that necessarily mean that what that person is doing is healthy, that it is good for their body? And so I think that comparison between weight loss and then steroid use and quickly and easily building body mass and muscle mass can be used here. What I find fascinating, and a lot of what we'll look at today, is with this Global National Drug Survey, what are they looking for? You know, what changes do they want to see? Is it reasons as to why numbers are going up? Is it how do you stop it so easily coming across and into our borders or being sold at gyms or wherever it may be? I wonder what results they're looking for and how long changes are going to take. Because to be honest, steroids have been big and an issue for decades.
Oh, absolutely. But I think what's really interesting is of all the drugs that they could be looking at, it's not methamphetamine, it's not ice, it's not all these drugs that we know cause great harm in the community. It's something that people use to make themselves better. So in a sense, not only has it been normalized, but I mean, potentially have some of the negative aspects of steroid use been forgotten or washed away as it has become so accessible in a way? Are we overlooking potentially some of the harm that can be done through steroid use? And that's something that as well that we're going to really unpack throughout the conversation today.
Because when you look at drug use, and you made the comparison there to meth, if somebody is abusing, well, I guess, or using methamphetamine to the point where they look sick, they look unhealthy, you know, you can tell. And it, but versus the image of steroid use, maybe you don't look sick, you look healthy. And is that a big part of the problem? So have steroids, illegal steroids, become normalized? Maybe yourself or someone you know use them for body enhancing reasons. What are the impacts? How did they affect you, both physically and mentally?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning, Rochelle Hunt and Daniel Miles with you this morning. I'm in Melbourne. Dan joins you from ABC Warrnambool as we look into steroid use and the fact that it will be the focus of the Global Drug Survey this year. And we have to say that if you do want to speak about steroid use today and you want to speak openly and honestly, you can change your name, you can do it anonymously as well. You don't have to give all of your details, but it would be great to hear from you. Dr. Timothy Piakowski is a lecturer of School and Applied Psychology at Griffiths University. Tim, a warm welcome to the Conversation Hour. You've done a PhD in steroids. This is something that your life's work is focused on. Is the biggest issue the fact that steroids are somewhat normalised?
I think it's actually a little bit of a more nuanced issue than that. I think there's a lot of stigma around people who use illicit substances, and so anabolic steroids just happen to be one of those. We do see, and we have seen, that there's increased accessibility. There's a increased prevalence in terms of people going to needle service providers and getting needles for their use of steroids. So although we don't actually have solid prevalence data in Australia, aside from the 2019 National Drug Household Survey data, which I think isn't the best representation. So I think, again, once you try and hide things because they're illegal, or once there starts to be this tabooism or stigma, that's when harms can occur, or that's where we have issues when people can't speak about things openly.
So in that sense, what are some of the harmful traits or impacts that can come from illegal steroid use? Not only from a sporting perspective where it's against a certain code or anything like that. We've been talking about how people use steroids to try and look better and feel better. But what are some of the risks that come with anabolic steroid use, for example?
So we know that there's definitely a link there, a correlation with cardiovascular disease. We know that in the case of oral derivatives, that they can place increased strain on your liver, kidneys, and there's some particular steroids, or what my research more recently is demonstrating, is that there's some steroids that are harsher for your, not only your physical health, but your psychosocial health and well-being.
We know that the Global Drug Survey brings together a team of researchers from around 26 different countries to look at drug policy and what needs attention and what needs focus. What are the main things you'll be calling for when it comes to steroid use? And I guess the second part of that question is, when was the last time steroids and illegal steroid use rose to the top of a survey and of, you know, health professionals from around the world? Are they constantly being concerned about it, but it's been pushed to the side? Or is it now something that just needs to be discussed because it's become almost problematic?
I think it's definitely, there's more accessibility, there's people using this, but we can't say for sure in terms of having hard data per se, and so GDS will provide that. I think the last time that the GDS team interrogated steroids and enhancement drugs specifically was 2015, so and having a module like we have in the current survey. And so I think it'd be nice to have some more recent data. I think across, like globally, across the world, there's different approaches. So, you know, you think about the United Kingdom, for example, they operate on a Class C framework where steroid possession is legal. But obviously supply, importation, trafficking, carry, different and significant penalties. And so if you're looking at public health responses, you're looking to policymakers to reduce harm. If we are indeed seeing an increase in steroid use, particularly in Australia, for example, then what we want to do is we want to have a public health response aligned with harm reduction.
I just wonder how long it will take to make any change, because it does appear to be really easy to access. I mean, we're getting texts now, for example, from parents sending in photographs of the steroids that their son takes. This one says, my 17-year-old appears to be taking a natural steroid alternative to anabolic steroids. It's by a brand. They mention it. I won't. But they're wondering and worried about, you know, what the side effects are. They say, you know, he eats junk food all the time, mostly two-minute noodles for every meal, and then he takes these. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. Are they really easy to access? And is there such a thing as a natural steroid alternative?
Yeah, so just in terms of that, I think we're mixing up illicit and licit substances. So there are health food supplements that will make claims to increase, you know, free testosterone and, you know, be a natural alternative. Research will tell us that compared to the real thing, they're not going to do much. And it's a real ploy, by a marketing ploy by supplement companies. Some of our research a while back will tell you that there is a link between supplement use and people progressing to more risky enhancement strategies like steroids, for example. But it's not always the case. I think as people go through adolescence, they like to experiment, and this is just one of those ways that they experiment, right?
Absolutely, and it sounds like this is something that we're going to be keeping a closer eye on as the year progresses with the Global Drug Survey. Dr. Timothy Piakowski, thanks for your time this morning.
No worries, thank you.
That was Dr. Timothy Piakowski, lecturer at the School of Applied Psychology at Griffith University. We're talking about steroid use, illegal steroid use, and whether that's something that has crept up on us and become part of our everyday life. Ian has given us a call from Bacchus Marsh. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
What would you like to say, mate?
Oh, look, I don't have much input into it, but just I'd like to hear more discussion about the psychology behind what makes young men think they need to do that to build themselves up like that. Is it an inadequacy? Is it, you know?
Yeah. That's body image, really, isn't it? And peer pressure and wanting, you know, so once upon a time we blamed magazines, now we blame social media. But I guess the same reason why we have diet culture potentially, Ian, and why some men and women, you know, take risky behaviour and, you know, extreme calorie counting or taking weight loss drugs. I think it's peer pressure to look a certain way, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. I'd be interested to see whether Australia hasn't got the most gyms of any country in the world. Gymnasium.
Well, a little later in the program, we'll actually be speaking to someone just about the impacts of body dysmorphia and how common body and misunderstood body dysmorphia is, which predominantly hits men in this age bracket as well, because they're looking at trying to, you know, create and body bulk and muscle bulk.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that is not only on social media. We see it in traditional media. If you're watching Hollywood movies, a lot of the time the actors that you're watching on the silver screen have these incredibly cut physiques, and that's put up to us as the picture of idealism of what you want to achieve. So it really is a tricky one, but also it's not just men, and that's something that we're going to discuss throughout the conversation, isn't it?
So have steroids, illegal steroids, become normalised? Do you think maybe yourself or someone you know uses them to enhance their body? What were the impacts, and how did they impact you and affect you physically and mentally?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
You're with Rochelle Hunt and Daniel Miles. I'm in Melbourne. Dan Miles joining you from ABC Warrnambool as we look at illegal steroid use. It will be the focus of the Global Drug Survey this year, which brings together a team of researchers from around 26 different countries. John's in Moonee Ponds. Morning, John.
Oh, g'day. G'day.
G'day. What do you want to say?
Oh, I don't know whether you've had a discussion about what are the motivations for young people and anybody taking illegal steroids, and does anyone find it tragic and a condemnation of the future of our society when we're giving up on altering behaviours and accepting that it is a fait accompli. We've lost the war against illegal drugs. Now you're telling us we've lost the war against illegal steroids.
Well, I think the reasons as to what's underpinning it is what we were saying with the last caller. I think it's to look a certain way and to be able to do it quickly, you know, and to do it what seems to be, and I use this in inverted commas, easily, Dan. I think that's the attraction to steroids, because sometimes you might be, you know, busting a gut at the gym and not looking exactly like the guy or the girl next to you. Because the other thing is, and we're going to hear this a little later as well, it's not just men, predominantly is men in their mid to late 30s, but there is a rising number of women taking steroids as well.
Yeah, and I guess this pressure to look great, to look a certain way, isn't anything new. This is something that's been happening for generations. Like we mentioned earlier, it started with magazines, it went to TV shows, now it's movies, and of course social media that puts an incredible amount of pressure on people to do things and look a certain way, and that's something that we're going to discuss throughout the conversation. Dr. Matthew Dunn is a senior lecturer with the School of Health and Social Development at Deakin University, and he joins us now. Dr. Matthew Dunn, welcome to the Conversation Hour. One thing that we're hearing a lot on the calls and in some of the text messages that we're getting on this is, what's led to this incredible boom? Why are people using steroids at the rate that they are? And is there anything that we can do about it?
First of all, thank you very much for having me. I think there's a number of reasons that we're seeing steroid use increasing in some populations. And I think the motivations in those groups are varied, and they're not as simplistic as we possibly would like to think they are. So we've touched on some of them already. So looking good, body enhancement. The other reasons are around sporting achievement. People want to perform better at the gym or on the sporting field. There are some other groups that we don't really talk about as much, and I think they're just as important as those other two. The first is those that might use them for work or occupational purposes. So if you're a tradie and you have an injury and you can't work, perhaps you don't get paid that day. So we know that steroids do help speeding up recovery from injury. If you have to look good for your job or perform well for your job, so if you're a personal trainer, if you're a bodyguard.
Can I just go back a step, because that was pretty huge, what you just said, that comparison then about, say, tradies being injured and using them. Is that something that is, though, prescribed by a doctor to say, okay, this will help you recover quickly, and then that turns into misuse, or is it done illegally and someone sort of self-diagnosing that being able to take steroids will help them, and without them they can't work?
Most of the work that I do looks at people that are using them for non-prescribed reasons. So they're not going to a doctor to get them prescribed. Most of, I think you'll find the steroids that men, and predominantly they are men that are using them, are not prescribed. It's very hard to get steroids prescribed in Australia. They are very heavily scheduled. There's a lot of oversight of them. And even we did a study last year looking at GPs and their views and their work with this group. And they are very reluctant to prescribe, even for medical reasons, in case the various authorities crack down on them.
Authorities is a really good point, and that's something I want to take you to, Dr. Matthew Dunn, is we're seeing that there is a serious increase in the use of illegal steroids in people just going to the gym, all those sort of groups that you touched on. Why aren't we hearing more from the authorities about cracking down on this? There's really strong pushes for things like methamphetamine, which we've touched on. But if the usage is increasing to the rate that we're hearing, why aren't we also seeing the authorities, you know, latching onto it at the same level?
There was a lot of regulation or an increased regulation looking at steroids several years ago, and notably in New South Wales, which is where I was living at the time. It was in response to a lot of those one punch or king hit incidences that we were seeing in, particularly in the King's Cross area. Some of the men that were convicted of committing some of these crimes were found to have been using or did have steroids. And so the regulations in places like New South Wales and in Queensland, where there was links to outlaw motorcycle gangs, were increased quite a bit. So there has been movement on this. I think because they are so heavily regulated, particularly within the medical profession, I don't know what a law enforcement or what politicians would do on top of this. I think it is about looking at why men feel that they need to use them and hearing them, and then looking at how we can actually include the medical profession in this. Because one of the other groups that uses steroids are people that don't want to increase their body image or sporting performance. They just feel like they have low testosterone and can't live the life that they wish they could live. And so they're going to their GPs or they're going to a doctor who is saying, look, yes, you probably do have low testosterone, but I'm not willing to prescribe it to you. And so that then pushes people into the black market.
And I guess that's, as we heard from our previous guests, is looking at as a health response as opposed to a tough-on-drugs response. There's text here that says 20 years ago it was easy to get steroids, especially if you went to the gym on a regular basis. The gym even had a room to use for injecting. I was one of the few that didn't use steroids. I was just as strong, but I was half the size. Stay with us for a moment. Dr. Matthew Dunn is with you, Senior Lecturer of the School of Health and Social Development at Deakin University. Anne's in Burwood. Morning, Anne.
Hello. I would like to talk about the fact that I have lost a family member to steroids.
What happened, Anne? What can you tell us? Of course, without sort of naming
super,
people.
A super fit mid-20-year-old boy, young man, I should say, who decided to build up his muscles a bit, so went to the gym. That's where he learnt about steroids. He had not used them before. He only used them apparently for a couple of months, and now he's gone. What happened was, and I don't think this is publicised enough, building up your muscles means you're also increasing the size of your heart. Your heart is a muscle. And these young men don't realise what they're doing to their heart. He had no medical history to show he was ill in any way. He threw an asthma attack out of the blue, had trouble breathing really badly. Ambulance apparently was called and he went to hospital. He had heart failure due to a problem with blood flow in his heart that he was not aware of, because he'd always been well and super fit and looked after himself, and he's no longer with us.
Oh, Anne, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Steroids for a couple of months.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Anne.
Very dangerous.
And thank you for sharing that, because, I mean, that's one of the first things we heard is cardiovascular disease and the impacts that it puts on your heart. Matthew, I mean, that was only after a couple of months that that person in Anne's life had, you know, an extreme reaction to steroid use. If they're being used at the rate that they are, they're being accessed illegally, how do you educate, right? How do you make sure, I'm not saying that you want to promote people using them, but if they're using them, how do they do it safely? You could make the comparison of pill testing at music festivals. How do we get the right information out there?
Yeah, I think it's, and my condolences to the caller, I think that's tragic. I think it is difficult because there is so much information online that people can access, and people will seek out the information that supports what they probably already decided to do. If you talk to men that used them back in the 90s or 2000s or even the 80s, when you look at the conversations that they have online with younger men and even at the gym, they will say to young guys, don't use them. If you're in your late teens or 20s, your testosterone levels, your natural levels are so high that there is no point taking steroids. Use the natural testosterone that you have to build yourself up. But increasingly, and you touched upon this earlier, social media, the positive effects that we confer on people that look a certain way in our society, I think is driving some of this. So it is really hard. What we need to do is have very frank conversations with people and say, and I do this whenever I do harm reduction information and education, is if you don't want negative effects from anything that you choose to use, the safest thing is to not use it. If you're going to choose to use it, then be educated about it, know the risks, and have those discussions with healthcare professionals and other knowledgeable people. And when I talk to young men in particular, it's framing it around the gym. It's about saying, if you're 22 and you've decided to use steroids, why is that? Is it because you could bench press a certain amount of weight 1 week and you've not increased that in a couple of weeks. Well, maybe it's your gym. Maybe it's what you're doing in the gym. Maybe it's your diet. But I think a lot of young men are thinking, I can't increase my bench press, so I'll go to steroids. And if you talk to anyone that has been in the gym scene for a very long time, they would say that is not the way to go. So I think it is this disconnect with information. Steroid use is a hidden behavior. People don't talk about it. Even the men that have been using it for a very long time don't really talk about it. We like to portray ourselves as the product of our own hard work and dedication. Some men out there will proudly say, yes, I use steroids to enhance what I can do, but largely it's something that is not really talked about. And when you don't talk about things, people don't get the information. And there are people that when they look at the information, and particularly going to what your caller said before, they might have a history of heart problems in the family or something else, they'll make an informed choice not to use them. And going to your pill testing analogy as well, people may say, no, I don't want that effect, or you've told me what's in this, I will choose not to use it. There's good evidence that happens. And with steroids, we just don't have those conversations.
It's a nuanced conversation and one that we need to continue having. Dr. Matthew Dunn, thank you very much for taking part in that conversation.
My pleasure.
Dr. Matthew Dunn, Senior Lecturer at the School of Health and Social Development at Deakin University there. So have steroids become a little bit normal in your life? Has someone that you know used them for body-enhancing reasons? And what were the impacts? How did they affect you physically, mentally, socially?
This is where the conversation begins. ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning, Rochelle Hunt and Daniel Miles with you as we talk about steroid use and whether illegal steroid use. Of course, we know many people are prescribed steroids for a multitude of reasons, whether it be arthritis, even a part of your cancer treatment. But we're talking about illegal steroid use and being used to try and bulk up quickly. Is it someone close to you that uses them, and how do they impact and how do they affect you? And it will be the focus of the Global Drug Survey this year from all around the world. Practitioners will be looking at how to deal with this and that it needs to be treated as a health response. 1-300-222-774. You can text 0437-774-774. Dr. Ben Yu is a GP who actually has a special interest in treating patients who use non-prescribed anabolic steroids. Bang, a warm welcome. There's lots of texts here sort of just talking about, well, how do we educate people? How do we actually start to get that information out there? Are enough GPs equipped to have these conversations, do you think?
Thanks, Rochelle. I don't think there are enough GPs who are familiar with the information. So I agree there's a group of GPs who are showing an interest where people can go to for advice. But we're hoping to increase the number of GPs who feel more familiar with information. There is a resource for GPs created by the Sydney North Health Network. If you just look it up, Sydney North Health Network, steroids will come up. That gives GPs sort of a harm minimization approach to people who actually are using anabolic steroids. So I think we're trying to get GPs more familiar. I think the truth of GPs, some GPs don't want to see these patients, and that's fair enough. They're not comfortable. Others are happy to help them, but they don't feel like they are knowledgeable enough to actually be of any use to them.
Bing, we're hearing that there's a group of stereotypical men who are coming and are the primary users of this. It's blokes in their 30s going to the gym wanting to get buff quickly. But yes. Is that the only group of society that's using steroids, or is it a bit more nuanced and broad than that?
It's quite broad, I think. Matthew and I had a study that's just about to be published, I think, looking at people who go to GPs who are using anabolic steroids. And really, even though the 30-something is probably the largest group, there's plenty of 40, 50-year-old men who are using anabolic steroids. You know, the average BMI, the body mass index of the people we saw, was about 28, which is sort of the normal BMI for an Australian male. So I think a lot of people aren't necessarily wanting to look that big or buff, but see the advantages of using anabolic steroids. That's why I think it's sort of spread into a broader group of people now compared to in the past. I think in the past, people would say that if you're fairly big and buff, maybe using steroids, whereas now I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore.
Do you think the average person who is using steroids illegally knows how to use them safely. And I know that sounds ridiculous because many would say there is no safe use. But how long you need to use them for? Do you need to take time off? You know, could they even speak to your GP openly and honestly and say, look, I take steroids. I just want to make sure that I can do it safely. Is that even a conversation?
Well, it's, for me, it's a conversation to have. I mean, you know, in some ways, you're right. There's no such thing as safe use, mainly because there's a lot of drugs that we don't know the details about. A lot of the drugs people use as anabolic steroids aren't approved for human use and never been approved. Some of them are for, you know, for animal use and such. So we don't have the information, but we can monitor someone's health. You know, I would offer someone a health check, blood pressure, heart check. I was very sorry to hear the story from the caller before about someone dying from heart disease. It's very sad because things like that are preventable. And as GPs, at least we can monitor, advise them, hopefully. I think a lot of the health advice people get online is very one-sided. Obviously, it's mainly focused on how to use, how to get big, you know, what substances to use, with very little focus on the side effects. So my point of view is that if they come to a GP, I'm only focusing on the side effects. I'm not going to talk to them about what they can do to get bigger or anything. All I'm talking about is the side effects. And I think that in itself is a really healthy conversation to have, where you have that time where you only focus on what can go wrong and be monitoring for it.
Would people be too scared to tell you that, though, Bang, because it's illegal? So you're going to have the majority of people saying, well, I can't talk to my GP because what I'm doing is illegal.
That's true, but I mean, we're not under any obligation to do anything about it. You know, we see patients who use lots of illegal substances, and that's not an issue. So I think they need to find a GP who's comfortable with that conversation. If, even if you're doing something illegal, it doesn't mean there's any consequence of telling your GP about it.
Yeah, and Dr. Bing, I think a lot of people who are texting in and listening would be thinking, there's a chance I know someone who is using illegal steroids. What's the advice that you give to family members when they are concerned about people, kids, brothers, aunties, uncles, anything, who are using illegal steroids? What do you say?
I think it's important for them to actually just say, you know, if you are using any anabolic substances, it's probably worth getting talking to a doctor and getting a health check rather than relying purely on online information. You know, I think it's worthwhile getting a health check and talk to someone because so much information online is unreliable. Not to say everything is not true, but it's very hard to actually separate the truth from all the myths about it as well. So I think it's important to get a health check or talk to a steroid use worker. In Victoria, we have a steroid use worker who can give people, you know, reasonable advice and things like that. So they need to seek some advice outside from online forums.
Can I ask a really silly question here? If you wanted to get off steroids, how easy is that? When we look at other drugs and other injectable drugs, to be able to get off that particular drug, it's incredibly difficult. And you need wraparound services, you need help, you need information, and it looks horrific from all accounts. Is it the same with steroids? And is that why people potentially use it for longer than what they should?
Well, that's a really good question because that's something that people don't talk about. Last year, there's an international addiction conference in Melbourne. A few of us presented a talked about anabolic steroid addiction. Because for a lot of people, it's not easy to come off it. A lot of people have psychological and physical effects from coming off anabolic steroids, especially if they've been using for a while. So they need to be supported and helped through that process as well. You know, as it is, there's no treatment program to help these people. So it's just up to us and a few specialists who are willing to help to actually treat them. But I think in the future, that's what we need.
So when you say it's hard to come off, are there withdrawals? Is it the addiction to the actual steroids? Is it an addiction to the way people look? What is that process like?
Well, it's a combination. And there's addiction, there's the psychological side of how you feel when you're on steroids in terms of feeling more energetic, be more muscular. But there's also a physical side. When people come off anabolic steroids, their natural testosterone is actually really, really, really low. And it can last 3 to 6 months. So over that period, you're basically trying to do all your regular work and everything with a very, very low testosterone level, which will make you feel quite ill. And that's why I think it's actually like an addiction. So really, we need to find ways of helping these people at least have a reasonable level of testosterone until they actually recover from it. But that's not being done or recommended at the moment.
Dr. Bengyu, this has been a fascinating discussion from many, many perspectives. So thank you very much for your input on the conversation hour today.
Okay, you're most welcome.
That was Dr. Beng. You're a GP with a special interest in treating patients who use non-prescribed anabolic steroids. And Rich, that's a really interesting element that you brought up that we probably haven't discussed yet, is it's all well and good to get access to these drugs, and by all accounts from what we're hearing is it's more accessible and easy to get your hands on than ever, but it's that next phase of what happens when you don't want to be on these drugs anymore that we haven't really focused on. And as Dr. Beng, you were saying, there doesn't seem to be services accessible for those people who are looking for something and need that wraparound support, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a text here that says regulation is not the problem, enforcement is. But I guess the people we're speaking to today are saying the complete opposite, and they're saying that it's not actually about enforcement. It's about education and seeing this as a health response. Another message, the problem with steroid use, if you're male and then you stop using for a long time, your body will stop producing testosterone. And then once you stop the steroids, it's very hard to get your body start producing that testosterone again. This is the reason why steroids will be the focus of the Global Drug Survey of this year. This is a global team of researchers from around 26 countries that look at drug policies, that look at particular harmful drugs and how they're impacting us. Maybe it's something that's impacting you or someone that you love as well.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Rochelle Hunt here with you in Melbourne. Daniel Miles joining you from ABC Warrnambool as we look at illegal steroid use and the impacts that it's having on both men and women. Associate Professor Gemma Sharp is a senior clinical psychologist with Monash University. One thing that we haven't focused on too much so far this morning, Gemma, is the idea of muscle dysmorphia. And there has been research over the years that is starting to take it very seriously as a form of almost like a eating disorder or a body image disorder when it comes to dysmorphia. And steroid use does unfortunately go hand in hand there. What sort of response would you like to see?
First up, thanks so much for having me on the show. And I've been listening in, and it's been so interesting. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And I think, as you were saying, I suppose people's initial motivations for going on steroids in the first place can certainly be body image concerns. And we are seeing a rise in muscle dysmorphia. So people who are even, you know, quite muscular already feel that they are quite small and puny. And steroids is seemingly a solution to their problems, but we know that people with muscle dysmorphia are very mentally unwell, and so adding steroids to the mix makes it even more difficult for them to manage.
Gemma, we've been speaking throughout the conversation about the fact that this is essentially nothing new. We've started with, when it comes to things like body pressure and I guess outside sources and views on the way that we look at ourselves and feel, this has been something that's generational, from magazines to TV to movies and now social media. There's probably never been more focus or criticism on the way that we physically look. Is this something we're ever going to be able to get over?
I mean, I would gladly give up my job and work on something else, but I think we're always going to value appearance. I think it's evolution. It's how we judge each other's health and virility. So it's kind of embedded in our brains to make assessments on how people look and assess their health. But I think what we have seen, and as you're alluding to, I suppose those judgments based purely on physical appearance are becoming quite crucial because of the way we're presenting ourselves. We're not meeting so much in person these days. It is kind of a quick swipe right sometimes, and making the right impression by your physical appearance is very important.
And I guess the idea, I mean, when we talk about extreme or really fast body changing, whether it be weight loss or muscle mass, and having friends or family or colleagues that would once be concerned with other potential drug use, when it comes to these things, people will congratulate you. You've lost so much weight, you look great. Or, my goodness, you look so buff, you look so healthy. Is that what makes this so much harder and trickier for people like yourself to get the education out there around some of the safety factors? Because people presume that you're really fit and healthy.
It really is, and that's always been an issue in eating disorders and body dysmorphia. I mean, I would never say to someone, oh, well done on your schizophrenia there. Unfortunately, the physical appearance changes are often praised by other people, and that perpetuates the disorder. But there will come a point where the changes have gone too far, and that's when family and friends tend to get concerned, but the person themselves often lacks the insight that they have potentially gone too far and need help.
Gemma, can you give us a bit of an insight into exactly why people who, you mentioned earlier, that people might already be looking big, they might be looking muscly, and they are still the people who are going to use steroids to reach a height that I guess they see as ideal. Psychologically, though, there's something that is happening within them that's pushing them to take such drastic action as using an illegal drug. Can you give us a bit of insight into how dire a situation is for someone psychologically when they find themselves in that situation to be reaching beyond, or reaching for something illegal to create and gain a level of fitness or health or anything that was otherwise seemingly inachievable to them?
Absolutely, and I think we still have so much research on body dysmorphia to do. We're just so far behind in our neuroscience and psychological understanding of the disorder, but we certainly know that when they look at themselves in the mirror, their visual processing is not the same as people who don't have the disorder. So they really can't see that they're very buff and ripped as the rest of us can. What we do know that with body dysmorphia in particular, and it's quite interesting that it does seem to affect all genders equally in terms of prevalence, unlike eating disorders that are a bit more female dominated. We know that they have a really high rate of suicide, much higher than for some other psychiatric conditions. And it can be absolutely debilitating impacts on people's lives. They might lose their jobs, have no social connections, become completely isolated. I think the gym would become their entire life.
Just finally, Gemma, as a society, have we also lost perspective on what, in inverted commas, a healthy or a normal or a buff body looks like? I remember in The Terminator when that first came out, Sarah Connor, right? When she was not even Arnie, I'm talking about the woman, she was doing her chin-ups and everyone thought, oh my God, this is the buffest woman, you know, I've ever seen. I've never seen a woman with so many muscles. You watch that. I watched it recently. She just looks like a normal woman, right? She does not look that does a lot of reformer Pilates. She doesn't actually look like she did to me 10 years ago. And there's a message here that says, this is just normalised. We glorify it. We've got the new TV show like Gladiators coming out.
Yeah,
so as a society, have we lost perspective as well?
I mean, I think, as you said, these beauty ideals change over time, and I can see us circling back to something that's maybe less muscular potentially in the future, but we certainly haven't reached that stage yet. And I think you're right that, we take that seeing someone with a lot of muscle, assume that they must be healthy, when in fact we have really no idea as to what their blood work is like, what their mental health is like. So I think it's about us making assessments on is someone actually healthy or not just by looking at them, and really we can't tell.
Thank you so much for your time and for the work that you do. It's really important.
Thank you so much for having me.
Associate Professor Gemma Sharp, she's a senior clinical psychologist at Monash University. Sort of feels like we've only touched the surface a little bit today, Daniel Miles, which is so often the case. We know that the Global Drug Survey, this will be the focus. What will be fascinating will be to see the results of that and to see whether any change and how long that change will take when it comes to this.
And I personally just can't wait, as Gemma said, till we circle back to something that's a little bit less muscular defined and a bit more focus on celebrating the dad bod, perhaps. I feel like that's when I'll really hit my prime.
See, that's
this.
A term I have issues as well. There's a whole other program.
I'm embracing the dad bod.
In that,
I love it.
As always, Daniel Miles joining us from ABC Warrnambool. Mate, thank you so much.
No, thanks, Rich. It's always great to chat.
I'll be back with you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're looking at small scale and local flower farming. When you buy your flowers, do you know where you get them from? I was once told something, it's something that's always stuck with me, and that was don't buy your flowers where you buy your toilet paper. Okay, I'm just going to let that sit with you and I'm going to explain to you tomorrow why. It's great to be back. Thanks to Nikki Ely for the last couple of weeks. Chat soon.